following is a special presentation from WBPM, Socrates, Kingston, Poughkeepsie, New York.
Foreigner, members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, 80 million albums sold worldwide, making them one of the best-selling artists of all time. The band struck platinum with their first three albums, and then they underwent a major change when they went into Electric Lady Studios to record their fourth one, cleverly called Four. Before beginning the Four album, they parted ways with original keyboardist Ian McDonald and guitarist and vocalist Al Greenwood. Founding member Mick Jones, from an interview done on the tour supporting Four in 1981.
Well, that's what we've done really with the band, because we've made all our mistakes. We've been fortunate to have done a lot of good things, I guess, and a lot of the right things. But everything we've done has been scrutinized heavily by a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, the public, and a lot of people that resented us for the sort of success that we'd had, just purely because they felt that we hadn't earned it, maybe. I just saw the danger sign all of a sudden, and I said, no. If we carry on like this, if we don't take our time to do our albums properly. The first album took a year in preparation, basically, and several months in the studio. Double Vision took 6 weeks preparation. Head Games suffered because, to my mind, it suffered because we didn't have enough time to get it together. At certain times you can get it together real fast, sometimes you need time. And if you get trapped in the schedule of touring album, you become part of the machine, and then the machine just churns you up and just spits you out. I mean, I don't want to be that. I really want the band to go on for a long time.
Lead singer Lou Gramm on choosing Mutt Lange to produce the Four album.
We certainly were aware of his production credentials. The albums he produced had a certain sound to them, which we thought would be perfect for us. And we heard he was a hands-on guy, which we liked. He was in the middle of recording, I think, The Cars. Okay, so we had to wait about 4 or 5 months for him to finish that album before we could start our album. And it gave us more time to craft the songs. And we came in there loaded with very good ideas. He was excellent in his recording techniques, and he would suggest certain things. You know, he wasn't heavy-handed at all. Things were going along good, and then we showed him the basic song idea for Jukebox Hero, and he loved that. But he wanted me to start the verse, Standing in the Rain, in the same tone of voice as the Jukebox Hero, Standing in the Rain! Yeah, and I said, Mutt, I says, I know what you're getting at. I says, that sounds a little bit too much like AC/DC and some of the other groups you've produced. We want the song to build from a very low level with a guy who is basically thinking about things, you know? And then as that verse goes into the B section, it starts getting a little more intense. And then when it reaches the chorus, then it's full on. You know, I could tell he wasn't thrilled with that. He goes, okay, let's try that. And Mick and I talked after, and we were determined that that's the way it was going to be, that we weren't going to take every idea he offered, that it was our album.
Mick and Lou's instincts were spot on. The Four album recorded 11 weeks on the Billboard charts, more than any artist in the history of Atlantic Records, including AC/DC, The Rolling Stones, and Led Zeppelin, and went on to sell more than 10 million albums worldwide. Four is certified 6 times platinum in the U.S., 4 times platinum in Canada, platinum in Australia and Germany, and gold in 7 additional countries. On September 12th, Foreigner and Rhino Records released the 44th anniversary editions of Four. The super deluxe version includes newly remastered stereo and Atmos versions and a 5-disc CD Blu-ray package that includes a booklet containing over 60 exclusive photos, 5 previously unreleased songs, 14 early and alternate versions of various songs, 15 instrumentals, and 15 live performances from across the globe, spanning the band's 1981 and 1982 Four World Tour. Hi, I'm Dan Neer. Over the next hour, Mick Jones and Lou Gramm will take you back to the original release and up to the present moment in Foreigner history.
Hi, this is Lou Gramm, and welcome to Foreigner 4 at 44. All Access.
Standing in the rain with his head hung low, couldn't get a ticket, it was a sold out show. Heard the roar of the crowd, he could picture the scene. Put his head to the wall, then like a distant scream, he heard one guitar.
Sounding like you're with Foreigner in the studio, the remastered version of Jukebox Hero from the 44th anniversary release of 4. At the time, the band recorded more songs than could fit in on an album. One of them is Fool If You Love Him, now included on the Super Deluxe Foreigner 4 release. Lou Graham.
As the albums were worked on and songs were written, and we would record the ideas, at some point we were given a deadline that the album had to be mixed, mastered, and turned in. So we kind of gravitated towards the songs that were the closest to being finished, and it turned out to be wonderful. But the songs that weren't finished, there were some gems in there. So here we are at this stage, and we started to go back and look at some of those ideas, and they were good.
Fool If You Love Him wasn't finished. So you
wasn't
had...
finished. It lacked a third verse and lacked the out choruses with the ad libs. I went in and wrote and then sang that third verse and put the out choruses on, and I matched the tonality so it sounded like it was done years ago or years later.
One of the five previously unreleased songs you can find on the deluxe editions of Foreigner 4 ahead of the album's 45th anniversary in 2026, that's Fool If You Love Him. The worldwide tour behind Foreigner 4 lasted almost 2 years. Here's Mick Jones from the very first night of the tour.
For the first time in a few years, I'm really having fun. I look forward to getting up on stage now. We've just done a little warm-up tour of Europe.
I know there was some critical reaction that wasn't totally favorable. I assume, though, that what I heard was that you didn't have much time to prepare before you went to Europe.
No, we didn't, because we've got a new lineup on stage now.
Right.
But all in all, the reaction was tremendous in Europe. And I'm not going to let one or two little journalists sort of spoil any of that. It was great. Europe was really
good. Were there times when you felt it?
The magic was there. You know, obviously there was a certain way to go. The only criticism that I realized that, that was valid, I think, was the fact that as we didn't have time to prepare that much, we had time to get the songs right, you know, with the new lineup. Bob Mayo and Peter Reilich and Mark Rivera. It was just a great feeling on stage. But all we were doing was just playing the songs, you know, it was like Foreigner's greatest hits. So we didn't really have time, which we're cultivating now, to really get into building the show, you know. We were just sort of playing the songs. There was such a good vibe, though, while we were doing it, and they're starting to sound really good.
Lou Graham.
We ended up with Bob Mayo on keyboards, who had played with Frampton and some other people, and he was more flexible in his style. His style would adapt to whatever the song required. And we got Mark Rivera on sax, who already had made a name for himself with Billy Joel, not for a long time, but a couple of years. We were fortunate enough that he came in and he did the same type of sax playing live as Junior did in the studio. And he also played guitar and keyboard and had a great background vocal voice. Was just a low-key family man, but funnier than all get out. And he was a ball to have on the road. You know, when things were getting beat and dragged out, he would always keep our spirits up by his stories and commentary and stuff. So it was a different vibe, and it's what we needed, because even when the album was released, we knew we had a monumental task to put that album across to people around the world, and that it wasn't going to be a 7 or 8 month tour. It was going to be a longer, it was twice as long as that. It was satisfying, though, you know. Do you know that the reviews we got for 4 made people's opinion of Head Games a little softer? They saw Head Games in a slightly different light.
Double trouble. Double trouble.
Recorded on July 7th, 1982 at Anaheim Stadium, and now available on the 44th anniversary deluxe releases of Foreigner 4, that's Double Vision.
On further thought, you know, they played Playing Dumb a little bit too deep, you know?
Find out what that's all about next, when we begin the next segment of Foreigner 4 at 44, All Access, in a few minutes.
You know, when you're happy, you enjoy the music we play. And when you're sad, you understand the lyrics. We've got music for all your moods. Right here on 92.9 WBPM.
We're so happy you could rejoin us for more of Foreigner 4 at 44, All Access. The song that melted hearts worldwide and became a massive hit from 4 was Waiting for a Girl Like You. Lou Gramm.
I want to tell you a quick story about Waiting for a Girl Like You. When I was all set up, ready to sing the definitive lead vocal, the intro comes in, dan. As the intro's coming in, the door to the control room's open, and a beautiful young woman comes in, dressed not like she's going to a ball or out to an expensive dinner place, dressed sharp, but very casual. And she comes in, she walks down 3 stairs and sits on the sofa 10 feet in front of me. And I had no idea who she was, but she was beautiful. So I sang to her and I started emoting to her. All she was doing was looking at me, and every now and then she'd give me just a little smile, you know? At the end of the song, when I'm ad-libbing, "Won't you come into my night?" She got on her short jacket, walked up the stairs and walked out the door. And Mick and Mutt were on the other side twiddling with the knobs. And when the song ended, I said, "Who's that young woman?" And they looked at me and they said, "What are you talking about?" I says, "What do you mean, what are you talking about? You didn't see her come in?" "See who come in?" That's where they're going, you know? You know, I started to get upset because that she was so beautiful when I was singing to her, and couldn't you hear a difference in my singing, you know? And they says, "Lou, you sang great, but we don't know what you're talking about." And you know what? I never found out anything about it, but I think they put her up to that. On further thought, you know, they played Playing Dumb a little bit too deep, you know, because you couldn't have missed her no matter what you were doing when she walked in the room. That made that song very special for me.
So long, I've been looking too hard, I've been waiting too long. Sometimes I don't know what I will find. I only know it's a matter of time when you love someone. It feels so right, so right.
Waiting for a Girl Like You, remastered so it travels straight to the center of your heart. We heard earlier how both Mick and Lou wanted to change the sound of the band when they went in to record Four. A major change involved enlisting the aid of an R&B legend saxophone player, Junior Walker. Here's Lou Graham.
Mick came to me with the idea, and it was already down and dirty R&B, you know? The guitar riff, the beat, the bass line, you know? Basically, the song was the basic tracks, including the vocal, were completed. And that area right in the middle, Mick played a couple guitar leads in there that were good, but we just felt because the attitude of the song and how it started to turn into a real dirty R&B song, we had to come up with something besides a guitar lead. And so I remember that a couple of us, while Mutt was still working on some of the sounds of the other instruments, we were leafing through a Village Voice. And we were fortunate enough, very fortunate enough, to find out that on the very night we were in the studio, Junior Walker was playing about three blocks down the street in a little club.
Mick Jones.
I suddenly heard, you know, on the track, I heard it, and I thought, gee, this is really crazy. Maybe he would come down and play on the track. No, and then, no. And then I went through all that kind of thing. And then I finally decided later on that night, had a couple of drinks, plucked up the courage, and went down to his place to see him. And sat through about two or three sets, and somebody was with me that went to tell him that somebody to meet him, you know, Mick Jones of Foreigner. Who? And I kind of waited for about 2 hours downstairs for him to come down. He was sort of being paid or something, you know, in those sort of clubs, I guess, takes a while to get paid or something. And I was just like a real fan, you know. I mean, I learned a lot from him, you know. I learned how to play some guitar riffs from his sax playing. I really respected him at the time and still did. And it was a kind of a tribute in a way to him. And to bring him back, if possible, that people just remember who he was. All the people that have been affected, all the saxophone players have been affected by his style, the people that, you know, have taken his style, used it, refined it, whatever. And the evolution of the sax, he was so important. And it was a big kick to get him to play on the record and for it to be a hit.
Lou Graham.
After the show, he went into the dressing room and we talked to his son, who was the drummer, and let him know who we were. And we had a song that we thought suited his style to a T. And would he be interested in coming over to our studio where we're working right down the street and maybe spending an hour over there and blowing some horn? His son talked to him and came back and he says, yeah, he'd be willing to do that. Of course, there's something in that for him, right? Well, you know, you got to ask those questions. And we said, yes, there would be. And we'd like to reserve the right to pick the parts that we want for the solo. No, you know, we don't want to leave it in his hands because we know what's best for our song. And he agreed to that. We all went over to the studio and Junior went in and tuned his sax up and stuff. So the song played and you could see him grooving in there. And when it came for the sax solo, he started playing Sweet Soul. And we let him play through, and we said, Junior, that's all good stuff, and we love the way you did that on your songs. This is more the attitude of Shotgun and some of those other ones where you're ripping. Oh, you want that? So the second time through, it was whee! And he played about three or four solos for us. We wanted him to play a little more, but after he played one last solo and he took his mouthpiece out, put the horn away, and was saying goodbye to us. But you know what? We knew from what he had played that somewhere in those takes, we had a killer take. And Mutt and Mick started taking this piece from that take and this piece from that take and blended them into one monster solo. And you know what the cool thing was? When the album came out and we played the LA Forum, we asked Junior if he'd come up and play the song with us, and he shows up in a fluorescent suit, with a zoot suit hat cocked to the side, and we did the song, and when he played the solo, he played exactly the solo that's on the record. You're not shy.
The song that took Foreigner to number 4 on the Billboard charts for 4 weeks, Urgent. We'll play some Head Games live when the final segment of Foreigner 4 at 44 All Access resumes in just a few minutes.
Music that was created by real live people and not artificial intelligence computers, then you're in the right place. Let's rock on. 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
How about some Head Games? You play Head Games?
Welcome back to the final part of our celebration of the 44th anniversary of Foreigner 4 All Access. I'm Dan Meir. Once again, Lou Graham.
Do you know that the reviews we got for 4 made people's opinion of Head Games a little softer? They saw Head Games in a slightly different light.
Daylight, well, all night. I don't know if it's real. The long night, something ain't right. You never show me, you never show how you feel. No time ever seemed right to talk about the reasons why you and I fight. It's half time to draw the line, put an end to this game before it's too late. Head Games, it's you and me, baby. Head Games, I can't take it anymore. Head Games, I don't wanna play. Head Games, oh no. A daydream, 4 hours to sleep. I keep thinking of you, yeah, thinking of you. These daydreams, what do they mean? They keep haunting me. Are they wanting me?
Head Games, recorded live at Westfalenhall, Dortmund, Germany, on December 19th, 1981. You can get that on the newly issued 44th anniversary release of Foreigner 4. Starting in the year 2003, Mick Jones assembled a new version of Foreigner without Lou. That band toured extensively. Lou Gramm.
We didn't speak to each other again until we were inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. And we kind of broke the ice and had some good talks and stuff. And after that, the original Foreigner did shows performing with the new Foreigner. That was awesome. We did about seven or eight shows in different big cities with the original Foreigner playing an hour and a quarter and the new Foreigner playing an hour and a quarter. We divide up the songs so they wouldn't overlap. And that went down a storm. And so I thought we ended off on pretty good terms, Mick and I, you know?
From the 44th anniversary version of Foreigner 4, sounding just like Mick and Lou heard it in their heads when they recorded it. Mick Jones.
I'm still nervous about everything. I mean, I want to remain nervous about everything. You know, I'm riding a little wave of you know, self-confidence, I guess, at the moment. But that won't be for long. It won't be for long. It's already. I'm thinking about the next album.
Already? Huh?
Yeah. And it's like, I never want to be really content or comfortable with what I do. I want to be happy, and that is one thing I have found happiness. And I don't want to be complacent about what I do. I want to be really worried about what I do, so that remains as intense as it possibly can be. Because that is the way we are. That's the way our music comes through. Both Lou and I, we're pretty intense people. And it's like a desperate need to do it. You know, you can take it all too seriously, you can take yourself too seriously and all this kind of thing, but we take our music really seriously. I'm not ashamed to say that we really do take our music deadly seriously.
I'm out in the street, it's 6 a.m. Another sleepless night. It's a great cup of coffee, but I can't clear my head from what went down last night. I know we both have our own little ways, but somehow we do it together. Hey, you hear me talk, you don't hear what I say. I guess it don't even matter. Blue ball, blue day, won't you see things my way? Blue ball, can't you see what your love has done to me? Always listen to your point of view. My ways I try to mend. I've always been your patient man. I tell you, patience has reached the end. You tell me you're leaving, tell me goodbye. You say you might send a letter. Honey, don't telephone, I won't be alone. Need someone to make me feel better. Blue morning, blue day, won't you see things my way? Blue morning, can't you see what your love has done to me?
Smoking live version of Blue Morning, Blue Day, recorded at Anaheim Stadium, California, on July 17th, 1982. Unfortunately, that's the last song we have time for in our celebration of the 44th anniversary of the Foreigner 4 album. Before we go, let's let Lou Gramm clue you into his recent gigs with the band and plans for the near future of Foreigner and himself.
So you did do some shows with a new band down in Mexico, right? In South America?
South America, yeah.
And were those good for you?
They were fun. The band was excellent. We had a lot of fun. We developed some camaraderie, and I think there's a few more of those in store. Honestly, because if Mick was in better health, he would be on stage. I don't know if I would or not, but he certainly would be on stage. Because he's not able to, I'm going to fly the flag for him as a token of my renewed friendship with him and to have an original member in that lineup. And then at the end of all that will be my album being released, and I'm going to tour 3 or 4 months. I think by the end of May next year, I'm going to be winding down. Solo album is called Released. It's releasing these old pent-up songs. It's a very creative rock record, different feels. There's some R&B feel to it, and there's straight ahead hard rock and a couple really nice different ballad type songs.
You can get any of the versions of the 44th anniversary of Foreigner 4 wherever you buy music. Foreigner 4 at 44 All Access was produced in New Jersey by Near Perfect Productions for Rhino Records, all rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. Special thanks to Phil Carson of Phil Carson & Associates and Rich Mahon of Rich Mahon Promotions. I'm Dan Meir.
Hi, this is Mick Jones of Foreigner.
And I'm Lou Graham. Thanks for listening.